Attending a writer's conference is a key event in most authors' careers. Often it is a transformative event that takes one from a hobbyist to a professional or helps give you that one contact or connection that makes all of the difference. But some authors, when they go to a writer's conference, especially their first one, they have a terrible or unproductive experience. And this is unfortunate because writer's conferences are not cheap, especially in terms of time and travel. And of course, the cost of the conference. In learning lessons the hard way, making the mistakes yourself is not the way. This is not the way. So in this episode, we're going to talk about what the common writer's conference mistakes are and how you can avoid them. So what are the mistakes that many authors make at their first few writer's conferences? We'll find out in this episode of the Christian Publishing Show, the podcast for writers who want to honor God through excellent writing. And we have a special guest on the show today who is a conference veteran. I think he may have been going to writers' conferences as long as I've been alive. He's also a literary agent, and he's the director of his own conference, the very popular Write to Publish conference in Wheaton, Illinois. Dan Bailo, welcome to the Christian Publishing Show.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate it.
So what is a common mistake that authors make when going to a writers' conference?
I think one of the things I was thinking about was when too many people go there to just do one thing. I just want to meet with this one person. And that's too risky. That person may not come. I mean, I just want to pitch my book. I don't want to do anything else. And I think as long as I've been going to conferences, and I think anybody that can speak to this, is that serendipities are the thing that make it worth it. Unexpected things. And so if you're not open to all of those things, if you're not opening conversations with people just out of the blue, you're not sitting down with people and just asking about them, you're not opening your heart to other people, you're really missing out. And I think it's a huge mistake.
And you're missing out on the education, because you're absolutely right. There's a certain kind of person, and they're there to pitch Steve Lobby. They don't want to pitch any other agents. They're just there to pitch Steve Lobby. And they spend their whole time in the conference hanging out in the hall, hoping Steve is going to walk by. When if they would just go into a session, they would get an education that would help them make the kind of book that maybe Steve or some other agent or publisher would be interested in, or it would give them the education that they need to take their writing to the next level so they can do this independently. So the conferences are not just about meeting people, and they're not just about pitching agents. In fact, at my conference that we just finished hosting, the Novel Marketing Conference, we didn't even have any agents because I didn't want that distraction, because sometimes people get so distracted by the agents that they fail to make friends with the other authors that are there. And that's where the real value in the networking is. And they fail to pay attention to the education that's happening all around them. And they really miss out and often leave disappointed, because if you put all of your eggs in one basket, you're almost certainly going to be disappointed because most agents say no to most pitches. It's just math.
Yeah. One mistake is to failure to make friends at the conferences. Like if you don't have more emails and more contacts when you leave than when you came, you've made a huge mistake, you know,
That's right.
there are people make lifelong friends. I mean, we're not just talking about colleagues and people that you might just bounce some things off to once in a while. You have people that are, that you can encourage, that can encourage you, that could just make your entire experience of writing and publishing a completely different experience.
That's right. Another mistake I see a lot of authors make is they wait too long to attend a writer's conference. They wait until they already have a proposal in hand for a book that they have completed. And by doing that, they've missed out on any of the opportunities for the conference to shape the book. Right? It's like, oh, take a session on show, don't tell. Take a session on good endings. Take a session on, you know, character development, or we have episodes on all those topics as well. But getting that education can help make the book better, and it takes the pressure off to go to a conference before you have something to pitch, where you can be there just to make friends and just to learn, kind of get used to what a writer's conference is like, get used to that particular conference, and then you come back the next year and you're way less nervous. You're much more comfortable. You have a much better book because you have the benefit of that education you just received, and you'll be much more likely to succeed if you just go to a conference a year earlier than you think you need to.
And I think this is something that maybe is an indication of my age and a long time experiencing all of these things, is that Could it be that God's will for your life attending that conference is for someone else to encourage other someone else? You know, it's like God works in complicated ways where it's not all about predictable, straight line kinds of things, that a conversation you have with someone might dramatically affect their lives. And I don't want to separate this pursuit from the way that we live our Christian lives in general. It's not all about us. And so if you view it that it's for someone else as well, then I think that's important.
If you approach networking as how can I bless other people, it gets a lot easier. If you're making connections, not because you're trying to meet somebody, but because you're trying to introduce that person to somebody else that they may need to know, suddenly it's when it becomes not about you, it's way easier. It's way less intimidating. That conversation isn't nearly as nerve-wracking because you're not trying to get anything out of the conversation. And you can approach it with a generous spirit. And here's the great thing. Where you plant, you will harvest, right? It's like, is that a promise? Well, it can be. It's also a threat, right? It depends what you're planting. But if you sow generously, you will reap generously. So going to a conference with that kind of attitude can really help. And this actually leads into my next mistake, and that is not having a plan. So conferences like Write to Publish really demand that you have a plan. My conference, Novel Marketing Conference, doesn't require you to have a plan because everybody does the same thing at the same time. And so the schedule is the plan. You just attend, you participate, you do the one thing, and then you do the next thing. It's like a straight line. But bigger conferences, conferences with multiple sessions and multiple tracks, and maybe you need to be having an interview with somebody during the session, you skip both sessions. That kind of conference really requires that you spend some time on the conference website and plan out, you know, what major track am I going to be a part of? Which breakout sessions am I going to attend? Which breakout sessions am I going to give myself permission to not attend because I want to spend that time networking or I want to spend that time resting? You don't want to be trying to figure that out at the conference on your phone at the last minute with a million things going on around you. Now, just because you have a plan doesn't mean that you're chained to it, right? You can adapt. But it's much better to have a plan that you are modifying from than to have no plan at all.
Yeah, and I think there's a difficult thing with planning in that if you haven't been to something before, you don't know what's important. So sometimes planning for your second conference is a completely different process than planning for your first one. And that's why experience is very important with conferences. Conferences are not a one and done type thing. And it's not just that that's your professional, your development is just a one-off thing. I think it's very important to learn. I've had people tell me, like, I've been to enough conferences. I know all about publishing. I'm ready to get my book going now and all that. First of all, I come from a perspective as you never know enough. You will learn things this year that were completely different than they were even a few years ago. So whatever you learned 10 years ago, forget it. And so ongoing learning never ends. Don't ever think you know it all.
It's so important because that teachable spirit, once you lose it, you won't learn any more than you know right now, and you won't have any more success than what you're having right now. And I often find that authors, especially after they've published their first book, and even more likely after they publish their second book, they become completely unteachable and their progress stops. They stop selling any more copies than what they're selling because they're just not learning. But that's not universal. I remember early on in my career, I was teaching at Mount Hermon, and a very famous author who everybody in the industry knew, and everyone at this conference knew this lady, and she was, I don't know if she was the keynote, but she was like a major speaker. And I was doing some breakout on some technology thing, social media, I don't know. And she was there in the front row taking notes, and she was a veteran of decades of experience and lots of book sales. And I'm like, oh, this is why she's successful. She's still teachable. She's hoping to learn one thing from me in this session, right? I don't know if she learned anything from me, but it didn't matter because her attitude of wanting to learn is what made all the difference. Whether she learned something from me or not, she had that attitude of wanting to learn, which allowed her to learn from other people at the conference as well. And that's so important. And if you start to lose that, if you feel that arrogance coming in, that unteachable spirit, you really got to nip that in the bud because that will torpedo your career long term.
Yeah, it is a little concerning. I hear from a lot of different people who could teach at a conference, and a few of them have said, I only go to conferences where I'm teaching. And you should probably shouldn't do that. You really need to maybe go one and just learn. Think of another pursuit that you might do that you think you've learned it all. Anything, any profession, pick one. The point you stop learning about dentistry, about how to do heart surgery, do all that. If you ever do anything, ongoing learning is important.
I'm from a family of accountants. My dad, my sister, and my brother-in-law are all CPAs, and they are required in order to keep their certificate of public accounting in the state of Texas to do, I don't know, 20 or 40 hours of continuing education every year. It's like, you know, debits and credits have not changed since the 1600s, but the U.S. tax code has changed since the 1600s. But speaking of debits and credits, another mistake that I see authors making is going to a conference to promote their novel that they've written. You know, they'll bring a whole bunch of copies of their novel. I see this more commonly with indie authors. And the reason why this is a mistake is not because it's bad to hustle your book or even that it's bad to hustle a book at a conference. The problem is that it's not a target-rich environment. Writers in general are not readers of your specific genre. And that's really not what I would recommend having your focus be, is trying to sell your book. If you want to sell your Amish romance, go to an Amish romance conference for readers, not an Amish romance conference for authors. Or better yet, go to a homeschool convention, right? Go to where the readers are. If you're wanting to catch fish, go to where the fish are, not where the fishermen are. And in a publishing conference, everyone there is a fisherman. They're not fish. Sure, they might buy some books and read some books. And it makes sense if you write a book on craft, right? If you have a book on conflict and how to work conflict into your novel, that's the kind of book that'll sell at a writer's conference. And it's okay to bring a few copies, right? And maybe to sell to your friends, but I wouldn't have that be the goal. And it certainly won't be a profitable venture. Getting a booth at a conference trying to sell your novel is not going to pay for itself.
Yeah, there's a real pitfall that any author can fall into. And I think it's a result of the requirement to have platform and these types of things, is that you begin to view all relationships as transactional, that it's not just being friends with someone so that you can encourage them and they can encourage you, or doesn't matter if they are not encouraging you, but you can encourage them, or you're doing them maybe you're doing them a favor by being their friend, who knows? But when you start turning every relationship that you have and every opportunity as a transactional type thing, I don't know whether that was truly healthy.
Seeing it as a transactional thing can work for a short time and it can get a relationship started, but it doesn't sustain a relationship over the long term, right? Think of it as little twigs and leaves that you use to start a fire, like you're trying to start a campfire. You know, it's okay. It's like, hey, the first time I met you, I was at the store and I bought a thing from you and we locked eyes and we knew it was going to be true love, right? That started off as a transaction, but it better not stay that way, right? There's got to grow into something more. And as Christians, it doesn't even have to start transactionally. We can start generously with our relationships. And one mistake that goes along with that is not bringing business cards. Because not bringing business cards means that people can't follow up with you and you're inconveniencing everyone who wants to get your email address or your phone number, which isn't very generous and it's not very professional, right? It's not expensive to get business cards. If you can afford to go to a conference, you can afford to go to Vistaprint and print business cards for $20 or $30. But then on the flip side, the second mistake that's connected to that is not following up with the business cards that people give you, right? You leave a conference with a big stack of business cards and you got to follow up with them. In fact, what I used to do back when I was going to conferences regularly before children is I would set aside a day once I got back from the conference and I'd have my stack of business cards and I would often write something on the back of the business card to kind of perk my memory of who this person was and what I wanted to talk to them about. And I'd shoot them a quick email like, hey, it was great to meet you at the such and such conference and hear about your book. I'd put as much into the email as I could remember and work to start that relationship so that it wasn't just a one-time interaction and now we've forgotten each other a month later.
And there is a principle behind all of that, is that every day that goes by after a conference, memory diminishes. And so if you decide that, you know what, I'm not ready to follow up with this person yet, or they asked me to send me their proposal, but I don't think it's really ready yet, and I'm going to send it 3 months from now, they won't remember who you are. They won't remember. And so striking while the iron is hot, use that metaphor, is paramount in after a conference. You know, use that next week to just follow up with everybody you've met and establish some kind of a communication chain.
We have a whole episode here on the Christian Publishing Show about that concept of striking while the iron is hot in relation to the book of Esther. So I don't do book studies on this podcast very much, but talk about how Esther used generosity to create the opportunity to make the ask and connect it with a bunch of different marketing principles. And if you haven't listened to my Esther episode, it is a uniquely Christian Publishing Show marketing episode. And that principle of striking when the iron is hot is so important. The timing of things is really valuable. And speaking of timing, another mistake is not resting. Conferences can be demanding physically, but also in terms of time. I have gone to conferences where I was up and interacting with people for 16, 17, 18 hours, having my brain picked. And that is really mentally fatiguing. And what I did at the Novel Marketing Conference, one, I hosted it in my hometown. But two, I did not participate in any of the evening activities. So after the conference was over, everyone's going out for dinner. You know, people are inviting me out to dinner. I'm like, you know, thank you so much for this invitation, but I'm going home. So I'd go home and I'd have dinner with my family and then I would go straight to bed. Like I'd put the kids to bed and then I went immediately to bed myself because I knew I needed energy for the next day. And so just because there's a night owl session, just because there's a pray at dawn session or whatever, does not mean that you need to go to these conferences, right? There's a pressure on conference coordinators. Dan, you probably felt this. You're like, I want to give people value. I don't want there to be a single second of this conference where they couldn't be doing something valuable. And so you fill the calendar full of all these things, which is good, right? Because some people want to stay up late and go to a night owl. And some people love the pray at dawn activity. But just because it's on the calendar doesn't mean that you need to do it, which goes back to our earlier principle about having a plan, right? Give yourself permission to go to bed early or to go eat by yourself at the Novel Marketing Conference. There was a lady who just sat by herself during the lunch. So we had this big room where you could eat. And I invited her to come sit with us. She's like, no, I want to be over here. And I'm like, I completely understand. As a fellow introvert, I respect your dedication to your own mental health, right? Because it's all chit-chatting all the time. And sometimes you just need some time to be alone. And so scheduling that time, both beforehand and afterwards of the conference itself, but also during the conference to have some time to rest, will give you that mental and physical energy for the times that you do need to be on and interacting with people.
Well, I have a deep confession to make is I actually kind of went the other way a little bit, that I felt like these serendipities are as important as anything else. And so we actually booked nothing in the evening except for after this evening session, we booked a social time with chips and dip and cookies and cupcakes and lemonade. And people sat around in the student union where people just hang out. And we're going to continue doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. For the Novel Marketing Conference, to kick it off, I hosted a patrons appreciation ice cream social.
There
you didn't have to come to the conference, come to the ice cream social. Just had to be a patron. And that had no structure whatsoever. I didn't get up on stage at any point and talk. It was just people eating good Texas Bluebell ice cream and chit-chatting. And it was really fun to see. And everybody was chatting and having a good time. And it's humbling a little bit, right? So you're like, I'm this big speaker. People are here to see me. And it's like, nope, they're here to talk to each other. And it's good to have that unstructured time. And if you're at a highly scheduled conference, you can make that unstructured time for yourself by just skipping a session on purpose, which again goes back to having a plan. Another mistake I see people making at conferences is focusing too much on status. There's this hierarchy that can emerge at conferences. Sometimes it's, you know, how many ribbons somebody has on their name tag, or right, you have agents at the top and editors, and then you have the faculty, and then you have the published authors, and then you have the unpublished authors, right? And there's this pecking order, and there's a certain kind of person that goes to a conference, and they're only interested in people with more status than they are. And that is just so toxic. I don't know a better way to say it. And it's like, these are normal people. They're fellow believers. We're all children of God. And, you know, and like somebody's like, oh, you write nonfiction. I don't want to hang out with you. It's like, what an obnoxious thing to say. That person who writes nonfiction is still a person. And they may have something to teach you that they've learned selling nonfiction books. Even though you write romance, can still be helpful for your book. So don't see people for their status or for their title. See them for the person that they really are.
If you're writing biblical fiction and there's somebody that writes, that's a Old Testament professor at a Christian college, sit down and talk to them.
Yeah.
It's like you might learn something. They've got three PhDs in this. They've written commentaries. They might be able to teach you something about that'll help you in your writing, you know? So I think staying in your own lane is not a good thing in writers' conferences. It's a good thing when it comes to your writing and to stay within your genre. Bad thing at a writers' conference.
Yeah, and I think that's pointing out about genre is really important. Your genre can be a cage for you if you let it at a conference where you're like, oh, I write science fiction and the fantasy people don't have anything to teach me. It's like, what are you talking about? Those are almost the same genres from a marketing perspective. They have a lot of things to teach you, and be willing to expand your horizons a little bit genre wise. And it's nice to be able to make friends outside of your genre because there's no concern of envy if you're really successful or they're really successful because the genres are different, right? If you both write exactly the same kinds of books and one of you is much more successful than the other over time, you have to really fight envy on purpose. But if you're writing really different books, envy's, you know, sin's always crouching at the door, right? Envy is always there tempting us. But it's less tempting when you can just say, oh, well, that genre is more popular than my genre. Right? That's why the difference in success is so stark.
We often don't think about how we perceive things until well after the fact. You know, we're not omniscient. We don't see perfect things. You know, even in our Christian lives, we don't learn a lesson until years later. Oh, that's what God was doing back then. We don't see that. I've started a little thing at the conferences that I'm at of reminding people before an important presentation that sometimes you miss things if you don't fully appreciate them at the time. One of those stories is, you mentioned sci-fi. This was years and years ago. I was asked to meet with a guy who ran an editorial development company and to see how we might be able to work together for the publishing company that I was working with. And oh, nice guy, super guy, really enjoyed meeting him. And after the fact, I begin studying about him and learning more and more about him. Well, it's a man by the name of Marty Greenberg. Well, Marty Greenberg was one of the co-founders of the Sci-Fi Channel on cable. He got his start by doing anthologies with Isaac Asimov. Tell me about your qualifications. Tell me about yourself kind of stuff. And then afterwards, I should have just shut up and listened to him without knowing what it is. And so I have these deep regrets all the way through my life of not appreciating things more as it's happening.
Well, and that leads us into another mistake, which is not doing your research.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Conference websites are a wealth of information. And you've probably experienced this with your conference. I definitely have with mine. Very often, the questions that people ask are questions that were answered on the conference website. And especially if it's the kind of conference where you're pitching agents and editors, knowing which agents acquire your kind of book can be critical, right? You can waste a lot of energy barking up the wrong tree. You psych yourself up. You have this big pitch and the agent is like, that sounds like a really great book, but I don't do fiction. And you're like, what? Yeah. It's like, why am I pitching you? The agent's like, because you didn't do your research. Go to the website. There's also a great resource called the Christian Writers Market Guide that lists every agent and every publisher. And you can cross-reference because some conferences have only just a paragraph about the faculty and there's no link to their website or more information. But you can get that if you have access to the market guide. We'll link to the Christian Writers Market Guide here in this episode. You can get the paper edition, which will be out of date in a year, but you can smell it and hold it. Or you can get the online edition, which is constantly kept up to date. They're both great, and they're a great companion. I think the online edition is $10 a year. It's not expensive, right? Compared to what you're spending on the conference, almost free. And it's really smart to get that beforehand. They sell a lot of copies of the market guide at the conference. That's not the time to be doing your research. The time to do your research is before the conference starts. And so you're like, oh, I know who you are. And you also have a little bit of something to help strike up a conversation with somebody. So what are some other mistakes that you see people making, Dan?
But I think if you go and you don't think that you have anything to offer anybody else, think of what networking does. I mean, that's one of the reasons you go to conferences is networking. is it's a give and take. You're there to offer something to someone else. And no matter who you are, no matter what, you have been gifted by God. God has given you certain gifts to be able to use them for His glory. And you have to go thinking, you know what? I can encourage someone. I can do this. I could do that. Well, I don't know how to write yet. Well, who cares? Go to the conference, learn, pick it up and all that. But there, I'm surprised the number of people, because it is a lot of introverts. And I've started using this as one of my catchphrases for the Write to Publish. And that is a message to the extroverts. Don't scare the introverts. But the the introverts is, yeah, I think that's our logo now. But there is a real danger. And I think Satan constantly thinks that we're not worthy. We're not good enough. We don't have anything to offer and all that. And that's just absolutely wrong. That is a mistake to think. You need to fight that. And you need to just say, I can go there. There's some reason I'm going. May not be for me. It may be for somebody else. But thinking that you don't have anything to offer because you don't have enough experience, that's not true.
So what would you say to somebody who's like, okay, I'm curious about this Write to Publish conference. Why should I go to this conference and not one of the other 100 conferences that are going on the same year?
Well, one of the things that we've decided to do early on is that we wanted to make it a challenging conference. So it's not something where it's all 101 level classes. There's some things that are going to stretch you. This is not simplistic stuff. There are conferences that are better for, you just want the basics to pick up some things. But we decided early on to make it sort of cognitively challenging to us, to someone who comes.
Although there is a basics of book publishing ongoing course. So you do have stuff for the beginners, but I like that, or it's not just for the beginners, where, and it's not just making people feel good, because there's a certain kind of conference that doesn't really accomplish much, but it's really good at making people feel like an author for a weekend. And people keep going because they want to feel like an author rather than to actually make progress towards their publishing goals. And yes. So something that's going to challenge you and take you out of your comfort zone, I think, is better. Maybe a little intimidating, but it's definitely better for you, yeah, professionally, but also emotionally and maybe perhaps spiritually as well. And it helps that we're all on the same team ultimately. Oh, right? Yeah. We're trying to advance the kingdom. We're trying to honor Christ. And so it gives us a sense of commonality where it's not just like, well, for every copy of my book that I sell, it's one fewer copy that you can sell, which isn't actually even true. Like, your real competition is not the other authors who write your genre, right? If you write mysteries, your competition's not your other mystery authors. It's NCIS or whatever mystery show is on TV on Thursday night. That's your real competition. So the more we realize as an industry, it's like, hey, Netflix is the boogeyman, not your fellow author. We can get along a lot easier. If you're wanting more information on what to expect at the Write to Publish conference, Dan and I recorded an episode last year where we went through step by step the conference. We kind of opened the schedule and talked about the kind of exactly strategies and what to expect. And so if you're thinking about going to Write to Publish, I do encourage you to check out that episode. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. I also will have a coupon code in the show notes of this episode that will give you a discount on the Write to Publish conference. And if you use that coupon code, not only will you save yourself some money, but you'll also help this podcast stay on the air. This is a great conference. I've heard a lot of good things about it. Someday when I am not at home with small children, I may actually attend. But this is not that day. But Dan Bailey, do you have any final tips or encouragement for somebody who's looking at their first conference?
The real fear is that people would feel like they just don't want to venture into this, that it's easier to just stay away than to venture into it. We're not going to be beating people up over what they're doing. Yeah, you're going to maybe hear some discouraging words and all of that about, you thought that it was this way and it's that way. But don't be discouraged. When you finally do get a book in print, the overcoming those discouragements would have been all worth it. Victory is only sweet when you've overcome adversity to get there. And how much greater when we know that we have a good Father who wants us to have good things and to learn good lessons. So try it. Give it a shot.
It's totally worth it. Thank you, Dan, for joining us today and for your encouragement. The Christian Publishing Show is a production of AuthorMedia.com. Our guest was Dan Bailey, who is a literary agent who you can query. We'll have a link to more information about him. The audio was edited by William Umstadt. The blog post version of this conversation was crafted by Shauna Lettler, and our producer is Lori Christine. And I, of course, am Thomas Umstadt Jr., your host, hoping that you live long and prosper.